If you have a Bible, I encourage you to get it and to turn to the first chapter of the book of Matthew. It is God's will for you to be in sound mind. And it is God's will that you and your spirit be in good health. And this is a time where we open up and magnify the significance of the birth of Christ and how important that it is and what it means to even know why he was born. Let's open up in the Word of God, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. And it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted, "God with us." Today, I just have a very small thought that I want to share with you. I just have to praise God, not only for the birth of Christ, but the meaning of it and what it means for me. And today, if I had to preach something for us that we could take home as we go forth in the holiday season, is I want to talk about Emmanuel, God with us. And if I had to tell you anything, I could stand here and not preach a word and just tell you all the times that I've had Emmanuel, that I've had Emmanuel moments in darkest days, in darkest hours, when I didn't have strength, when I didn't have the ability to take another step, when I couldn't go on in my ministry, when I felt like all was lost, when I felt like I was forsaken, all the while, Emmanuel, God with us. And today, we better be able, and I said better because we better be able to give God some praise for him being with us all the day long. God did not put you in this building this morning for you to sit back and complain about what you don't have. He didn't place you here just to be another person on the seat, but he placed you here as a witness of God with us. He placed you here as a mouthpiece to say glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. He's placed us all here for a reason and a purpose. Mine just so happens to be to read from a podium and to share a few thoughts with you that through my foolishness that somebody would be confounded. I was foolish enough one day to believe that he was with me in drug addiction, and so I praise him today, God with us. I can praise him today to know that every time it's ever been hard to sing, when I dig down in the depths of my heart, I can still say nonetheless, Emmanuel, God with me. I thank him today that though other people may not get up and praise him radically like I want to sometimes, that it's just the way God made me, and through Christ's birth, he gave me a new beginning and a new means to live. I'm not dead this morning. I didn't come in here to share doom and gloom, but I came to share the good news of Jesus Christ. He's here for every person that is lost, and he's here for every person that is broken and contrite. He's here for those that are heavy-hearted. He's here for those that feel like they don't have what they should, that they're not where they need to be. He is a present help in a time of trouble. He is a refuge set up high, a city on a hill which cannot be hid. And I just have to give him honor and praise just for a minute for each and every time that I felt like I tapped out, that he picked me back up and encouraged me. Has anybody been there with me this morning? Has anybody ever been to the end of the road before and saw how dreary that it was? But yet with the comfort of the Holy Ghost, I was able to go on another step. Hallelujah. You just got to give God praise for the goodness that you feel in your heart. Don't resist the anointing that lives in your life. Don't resist when God wants to rise you up for a praise, for that is the time when you know that God is with you. It's not in times where you feel forsaken, but it's when you believe in faith and rise up and show somebody that you've got God with you.
I know some of us may
want to have more clarity at times of why Christ was born into the world. And oftentimes, we know that he was born into this world so that the world would be saved. But I just wanted to open up some scripture for you. Just a real quick thought about what Christ's purpose is for many things. His mission to the devil is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. And it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So don't let anybody tell you that Satan can ride you so hard that you lose what God has given you. Don't ever feel like that you're defeated from the devil. Don't listen to his whispers. Know that the Son of God was born into the world so that it would be destroyed. The thoughts I used to have about me being worthless and not worth anything and that nobody cared for me, when I accepted Christ in my life, I realized that I was loved and that I was meaningful and that I had purpose. And then every day that I get up now, I realize that God loves me and that he's there with me in all things and he takes care of me. Hallelujah. And I just praise him for that. His mission for the angels is in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. And it says, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and all let the angels of God worship him." He was brought into the world for the angels to be able to even worship the fact that somebody overcame as the incarnate of God in this walk as man. Hallelujah. His mission to the prophets is in Matthew 5:17, and it says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." His mission to God is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. And it says, "Then he said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." His mission to the lost, as we know, is in Luke 19:10. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." His mission to those that are dead in sin is in John 10:10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they have it more abundantly." His mission to those of us in this place right now that believe and come Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, participate in all the activities, make sure our numbers on the attendance mark or make sure our tithes are in the offering plate, is, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not be in darkness." Hallelujah. He brought clarity when he saved you, and you can get up each day in the morning to know that the birth that occurred in your life when you were born again is something that's with you every day. And I just wanted to preach that thought to you this morning, that Emmanuel, God is with you. If you do not have this relationship, if you want a closer walk with God, the altar is always open for anybody. Oh, he will accept anybody with a willing heart. Don't come up to the altar and just say, "God," if you can. He's looking for somebody with some faith to believe that when they come, that they will receive God with us. I have to praise him today to know that every time I've ever got up to preach, God with us. Every time I rose up to put my hands in the air and put a shout, God with us. Every time that I ever go to my job and it's terrible and it's difficult, God with us. Every time that I've ever had to testify when it felt so cold that nobody would have, I rose up and gave him glory. Why? God with us. I shake people's hands and hug them, encourage them, go to the nursing homes and give them love and encouragement. Why? Because Emmanuel, God with us. I keep on preaching today in a world that doesn't want to accept Christ in a godly lifestyle. Why? Because Emmanuel, God with us. He's my comfort. I can't help it this morning. He's my help when I need a friend. When I got nobody, I got Jesus. I have God with us. I have everything that I need. If we can't give God praise for that, we need to do some work inside of us. Don't let anybody shut you up about the good things of God, ever. Why? It is the way that you witness. Everybody wants to look back to a golden age, to a church where they praised the Lord, where they gave him glory. And I preach this in my church all the time, and this is hard preaching right here. But I don't want anybody to build a building that's going to be a mausoleum of the memories of what used to be. He's with you now. In your heart today. He's with you now. And what you make of today, today is your day of redemption. What you make of right now and how you take a stand for what you're going through is what somebody else gets strength from. God with us. He didn't say God with me, but it was God with us. He is the same strength for you as it is for you, as it is for you. He's that same comfort for you. When somebody loses a loved one in this family, he's God, the comfort, the Holy Ghost. He's everything that we need there. When somebody else is in need of finance, he is the miracle. God with us. When we're never alone, the Word of God says that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but be with you always. In other words, God with us. Yeah. Jesus Christ was not only born into the world so that we would be saved, but he was brought into the world to conquer man. He was brought into the world not to emerge from mankind, but to set an example for us that we could abide in the likeness of his Spirit. As we go out in our everyday lives, there are so many people, and you may have looked over for a long time, but there's so many people around you that if they just saw your humble heart open up and tell them that they are loved, you would be amazed at how much different their countenance would begin to be. There's so many people bitter on life, so many people that need a touch from God, and sometimes they'll never touch the altar. But how will they know God is with them unless they know that God is with you? People have to realize that in your heart that there comes a time when you'll let tears flow. And there's going to have to be a time where they let you shout the victory and bear witness to your countenance and what you bring. Hallelujah. A church does not continue to grow because you continue to add numbers to it. A church continues to grow when you have a source of growth. Hallelujah. The only way that you'll continue to see this place grow and continue as a church is when you bind together and be witnesses of the Spirit of God. How do we do that? When we're in hard times, we put faith over all of our doubt and say, God, in spite of it all, I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to sing a song with some passion. And I'm going to let people know that you are with me. If I ever tried to preach a message not knowing that God was with me, it'd be the most dried up thing you ever heard. I know you've heard preaching that way. It sounds bitter. It sounds angry. And God never came to come down on you. He never came down here to beat you up. He came here to let you know that he's with you. And that he loves you. And that he is closer to you than a brother. He's your friend. Young people in here, I want you to know that he is just as much with you in your life as he is with the preacher standing here. And any time that you ever open up your heart to Jesus Christ and believe him, he is with you. Amen. Anytime you ever open up your heart and just believe, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter where you've come from, doesn't matter the story. There is no story that you could say bad enough that God would not accept. I was on what I consider to be the bottom of the list. Because most of the time when you're in drug addiction, people judge you and think, well, he'd just be better off in prison because there's no hope for him. But thank God that somebody showed me that God was with him. Thank God that there was a few people still left in this world that still have a shout and still have a dance and still have a praise. Thank God for churches that will still believe and take a stand to this world. And say, in spite of what you believe, I believe in the Most High. And I believe that he's with me in my every strength. It'll cause you to smile and not frown. It'll cause you to be happy and not sad. It'll cause you to be comforted and not troubled in your spirit. And it'll give you every strength that you ever need. I wish that I could ever just paint a picture of every time that God has blessed me. I wish I could write it on the walls in this building. And the truth cannot be told. I can never tell you all the times that God has helped me. It just can't be told. But the one thing that I can say in a very simplistic way is that God is with me.
Amen.
God is with me. God is with you. God is your best friend. Hallelujah. Is this good for you this morning? God is with you. I'll testify to the musicians that made a wonderful effort this morning. And I just praise God for people that are willing. And I had a person when I was first starting out to play music, I was real young, long time ago, told me these simple words. He said, brother, grab on and hang on. He said, it's not always going to sound good. He said, but if you just keep playing, it'll get better.
That's right.
And that's the way we have to handle our walk with God. There's going to be things that are going to cause us to stumble. But if we grab on and hang on to God, it will get better.
Yeah.
I know some of us, we may come to the altar and just feel like that I didn't get any strength, and I just know that I'm going back out there to face the same old thing. And I'm not saying that that trip wasn't worthwhile, but there has to be something in your heart that begins to believe in the fact that God is with you. You have to begin to believe. He said, for whosoever would believe, you would begin to receive light in the midst of darkness. So when we don't understand, and especially when we are confused, that is when God's comfort begins to come in. Well, Lord, I don't understand why they're sick. God's comfort will come and speak to you in a way that you need. Man, I feel, Lord, when I lose a loved one, I don't understand why. He is a comfort for that. When we lose friends or don't understand why people will persecute us, when you seek God, He will be your comfort. God, I don't understand. I need to pay these bills and I've been laid off. It's the only way that you'll get comfort is when you see God. Because otherwise, you'll just be bitter at the fact that somebody laid you off, and maybe the person that laid you off needs you to show that God is with you. Oh, the Bible puts it in perspective like this, that He has the cattle of 1,000 hills. Or in other words, an unfathomable, unreachable point in our mind that we could even begin to comprehend or even understand the depths of what He can bring, the riches that God can supply, the love that goes beyond all of our faults. Can you imagine if we wrote a book on all of our faults? Can you imagine if we all had to read what each other had done all our entire life? We wouldn't be able to not only come to church, we probably wouldn't even talk to each other much if we had to judge everything that we'd ever done. But the one book that we read from is not from our faults in this life. The one book that we read from today is not looking on the news and judging people for their mistakes and saying, well, they just don't have enough strength to overcome. But we read from a different text. It said that in the time some 2,000 years ago now, that there was something sent for us, that it would go beyond atonement, and it would go beyond the altar of incense, and it'd go beyond the holies of holies, so that we would have our high priest, and we would have a means that when we fell down to our face in this altar, that it would mean more than just vain words, but it would connect with the spirit in your heart and your desire with the anointing of God. And I want to remind each and every one of us that if we do not learn to communicate to God our every trouble, oh, how hallelujah, I have to speak this. Christ even said to them that you can have the desires of your heart and speak unto the mountain, be thou removed. But the key there is to not have doubt in your spirit. That's what He told them. He spoke to a fig tree and it was never to bloom again. And they were just in awe of this miracle and didn't understand the meaning of it. But He was showing to them that when He spoke that unto that tree, that He had no doubt in His heart. If you're ever going to be a true witness to somebody that they will believe and be drawn enough to come to church, you can't be up and down. You have to show that God's with you all the time. And the way we do that is with no doubt in our heart. When I lay down at the end of the day, I know that God is with me. And I know that even though I'm young, I don't have the promise of another day. I work out 5 days a week. I run 2 and 3 miles. I do everything I can to stay in shape. Our family has went through 2 generations of cancer thus far, and I'm rebuking it left and right. I don't expect to see it, but if it comes, God's with me. If I don't wake up tomorrow, I know that God's with me. Because I know, but by receiving Jesus Christ and believing that He came and died for me, that I have salvation. Preached this about a week back about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and what it meant. But the gold is your salvation. It's that gift that's precious. When we wear gold, where do we wear it? We don't wear it on the inside of our clothing, do we? We put things on that we find that are precious as something that we can show someone. That is the same way that you are a witness. Salvation is so precious. To be redeemed is far more worth than gold. To be saved and to not ever have to know hell is something that I would gladly wear every day. There's so many people that just need to see what shines in you. The Bible said not to hide it behind a bushel, for it to be hid, but for it to be a light unto the world. What is the source of our light, church? Jesus Christ. He came to bring clarity to sin and to say that you don't have to stay this way. He brought a means for us to be able to endure temptation. He even taught the disciples a means to pray. He even provided those that were sick a means to know that there was healing for them. He went to those that were possessed
and had great mental issues and delivered them when all others had sent them up in the mountain. Surely God was with Legion, and surely God was with the blind man, and surely God is here for you in this place today. If you ever needed to know why that Christ ever came and was born into the world, it wasn't to make a nice nativity scene you buy from Walmart, and it wasn't to make a nice nativity scene that you'd see at church, and it's more than a Christmas play, and it's more than going through the motions and hearing the songs one time a year, but he was born into the world so that each and every person, no matter what state they're in, sinner, lost, saved, believer, he's there for everyone. He's there for even those that the Pharisees had looked down upon him to go to. Those that were with leprosy and those that had some issues and been through some things. He even went to a woman that had had multiple affairs and said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." In other words, there is no height nor depth that his love does not touch. I will be able to preach that all the rest of my days. I don't think we really understand how far his love reaches. We gather at this place today, but the house down the road, his love is right there. We gather here in a place that's nice and well kept, but even for homes that may be in a wreck, there's still love for them, and there's still hope for them. There are families that are broken this morning that need somebody to come in. You may be a family member that knows a broken home, and let me tell you, just telling them what they need to do of yourself will never help them. In fact, that creates a spirit of rebellion in people because flesh can't lead flesh. The Bible refers to this as the blind leading the blind. Man could have never led us out of what we were going through, but it's by the spiritual witness in your heart, the things that you'll do that'll be foolish. Standing up and actually saying a sincere prayer over the food to touch somebody. If that's your opportunity, then pray a real sincere prayer. If you get an opportunity to read the Christmas story, then let God use you and let it just not be words off the page. But let people know that Emmanuel, that God is with you. Let me just tell you, I don't ever preach anything of me. I seek God for what people need and what churches need. And I feel like with all of my heart that this was for this place this morning. And I want you to know that as you go forward, if you need to get a copy of this disc, if they record it, play it back again and just tell yourself, God is with me. Tell yourself each day, whether it's hard, whether it's good, we need to remind ourselves even when we have all the bills paid and everybody fed and everybody taken care of that God's still with us in preparation for what may be ahead. We're not always going to be in blessed seasons. We're going to have seasons where we're tested. But even in those times, God is with you. If you are in need and you need God to help you, how many of us know that He's with us? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.